Good morning. If any of you have been unfortunate enough to go to public school, one of the worst things about public school is group projects. You think about it. You get into a small group and you have to put together something for a class. Now, many times we think about it and we say, you know what, I could do a better job on my own than in a group. I could do all of that work by myself and still get a better grade than everyone combined. Or you get put into a group and everybody does their work, you divvy out the work, but one person fails. One person doesn't do the work, and your whole group suffers for it. Now, ultimately, you can bring this up to the teacher and say, teacher, I did all the work. Or, teacher, we all did our work except one person. The teacher is in control in that moment. How much more is God in control of our lives at any given point in time? Now, if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. We read of 3 points. The mariner's fear, verses 1 through 4. The mariner's fear, verses 5 through 10. And the mariner's faith, verses 11 through 16. God is always in control, even when we take matters into our own hands. So if you would please open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1 and read with me verses 1 through 4. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break apart. Now in verses 1 and 2, the Lord calls out to Jonah and asks him and tells him, "Hey, Jonah, you are going to go to Nineveh." Now, Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. Assyria is breathing down Israel's neck at this point in time because they are going to overtake them. This great and evil people are going to take over God's people as punishment. Now, the Lord is asking Jonah to do something directly for the service of God. Jonah has the opportunity to bring this great city towards godly repentance. However, verse 3, Jonah decides to pay a fare and escape the presence of the Lord. Jonah's immediate action shows us his unwillingness and disobedience towards God. Now, if I say anything positive about Jonah this morning, it's going to be that he acted immediately. He heard the word of the Lord and said, "I'm going to do something else. I'm not going to do what I was told." When we think about Lot in the book of Genesis, fleeing from Sodom and Gomorrah, he gets asked, Lot, why do you tarry? Why do you wait? But Jonah acts immediately. Whether good or bad, he does something right here, right now. Jonah decides to take matters into his own hands, but the Lord has other plans for Jonah. In verse 4, the Lord unleashes a mighty wind upon the ship that Jonah was on. God was not something that Jonah could just escape, and he made that known. Jonah was going to feel the punishment of the Lord. Now, I'm originally from the coast. I'm from Corpus Christi. If you ever go out into a small boat in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, deep sea fishing, and you feel that wind hit the side of the boat, and the boat starts rocking, that's a dangerous moment. But when the Lord is sending a wind, and it says, the ship threatened to break up, the ship threatened to break apart, what a powerful wind that must have been. That was an uh-oh moment for Jonah and the rest of the mariners. God was going to have his will be done because he is always in control. Read with me, continuing in verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have brought? What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now here we see the mariners' fear. In response to this great wind that has come upon them, the mariners call out to each of their own gods, their respective idols, their own individual gods, little g, that they worshipped. However, Jonah decides that I'm going to take a nap. These men are afraid and doing what they know to save themselves. Instead of praying to his God, Jonah is still trying to escape the presence of the Lord. But the captain comes to Jonah and says, "You, explain yourself right now." Now in verses 7 through 10, the mariners begin casting lots. In their fear, the mariners are casting lots and finding someone else to blame. Instead of looking at each other and saying, "Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me." They're saying, "No, it's you. It has to be you or you or you." They're casting lots to find the true perpetrator here. But when the lot fell on Jonah, he explained that he was trying to escape the Lord, the one who made the land and sea. Now, upon hearing this, the mariners, their ears perk up. They say, "Oh, you mean the big God, capital G, the one who rules over all, the one who is always in control." This left the mariners afraid and without direction because they knew what would happen. They knew that the Lord was powerful. They knew that the Lord could destroy them should he choose. But this leads to their faith. Read with me verses 11 through 16. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Here, the mariners are expressing their faith. The mariners turn to Jonah and ask him what they need to do to be saved. Jonah tells them, "Throw me overboard. I'm the one who's causing this. Throw me overboard." Despite this, the mariners still try to make it to shore without throwing Jonah overboard. right now, in verses 11 through 13, the mariners are still trusting in themselves. Their faith is right here, in themselves. But only by placing their faith in God and tossing Jonah overboard do they receive their safety. Because of this, because of everything that has happened, because of the destruction of that is coming upon the ship, because of the waves, because of the sea calming down, the mariners make vows to the Lord. Because of the things that have happened to them, they see that the Lord is the one true God. And they continue to worship him. Jonah paid the mariner's fare, which caused their fear and eventual faith. We must allow God to be in control of our lives at every given moment. If you are not a member of the Lord's Church and would like to become one and like to be a part of it at this time, we ask that you come now while we stand and while we sing.
Have you ever stood at the ocean?